This is the Cubs related podcast. Tonight is June 25th, and our Chicago Cubs split the series against the Miami Marlins. They're one game above 500, and they will travel to Washington to start a pivotal matchup. A more stressful one, I think, against the Washington Nationals, which begins tomorrow. With me is Corey. Corey, let's get through this.
Let's get through this. I think that's the new hashtag for the Cubs? Is that the one they're running with? Ugh, let's just do this. Yeah. That's basically what I think to myself before every one of these games. Oh, God.
Brutal.
Yeah. You know, I think going in, I would have taken a split. I think it's just sort of the way that that plays out. I think you look at the especially just the pitching that the Cubs got, and I think you sort of believe the Cubs could have taken all four of those games. So I think that's kind of the frustrating portion of this weekend. So I guess we'll go through and recap these Marlins games real quick. On Thursday, the Cubs win 11-1. Jake Arrieta gets the win. You know, that one was pretty simple. That was the offense coming to life. Arrieta pitching a very good game. Bryant hit a 3-run home run. Addison Russell looked phenomenal
four
in that
for
game.
Five, yeah.
Yeah, and
Happ had four hits that game too.
Yes, so just an all-around really good game there, and a really good way to start a series like that. You know, going in, it's a tough place to play, tough lineup, like we said, and a four-game series. So definitely a good way to start things off. And then Friday, the Cubs seem to either show up and win or play a game that just makes you want to bash your head against the wall. And I think Friday is one of those games. So on Friday, Urania gets the win for the Marlins. The Marlins win 2-0. John Lackey takes a loss he didn't deserve. And again, I'll say this every time.
Very rarely do you say that.
Well, that's an hold on, because that's what I was going to say. Like, I will firmly believe going into every start that John Lackey's not going to do well, and I think the stats mostly back me up in that assumption. But we'll be the first to admit when he throws a good ball game and is, you know, not backed up by the rest of the team. And, you know, he gets one pitch that Stanton is all over, which, you know, in that lineup with someone like Lackey, it's going to happen. And that's not an indictment of Lackey. It's more just, you know, when you're throwing that slow and living up and over the plate, like that it's lineup is just filled with too many guys. For somebody not to get on one of them. But he limited it to a solo home run for Stanton. It was 460 feet, but, you know, a run is a run, right? And the offense just doesn't show up. The Cubs out-hit the Marlins in this game 6-3. And that was about it. Just basically another one of those games. Cubs putting runners on, but not really able to get anything in, not able to do anything against Urania. And, you know, so that I feel like those first two games of the series were sort of, if you needed a microcosm of how this season has gone, basically, I think it was those first two games. They show up, you know, really good on all fronts in that first game, and then just, you know, a real head shaker in that second one. And I think that second game, the Cubs probably grounded into what, like five double plays?
I lose track.
I think it was that one. But it seemed like it was every other batter was grounding into a double play. And then on Saturday, big John Lester picks up the win, comes back from giving up an early 3-run home run in the first inning to JT Realmuto. And that was, of course, the Javi Baez game. Cubs win 5-3. Javi Baez with a he brings in the tying run, I believe, in the fourth inning, and then caps the win with a 2-run double in the sixth inning that the Cubs bullpen then shuts down. So again, you know, a really frustrating one on Friday, a nice win on Saturday, and then we come back today in exactly how you'd expect, in extraordinarily frustrating fashion. And Brendan, you called this perhaps the most frustrating game of the year. Mike Montgomery, very good again. The Cubs leave 11 base runners out in the field. And Giancarlo Stanton blasts another home run. And that was the story of the day. Another one. So the Cubs lose two games in this series. In both of those games, they commit an error and out-hit the Miami Marlins.
That's what I'm talking about. It's just, especially this one today was so frustrating. That first inning, Montgomery, he had a few pitches that he left up over the plate that did get hit hard. But, I mean, a little tiny, like, cue shot that floats off of Addy's glove, which I think was a tough play, to be honest with you, but nevertheless, it was a cue shot. And then another infield hit later that it was just one of those games. For me, it was the most frustrating game of the year, no doubt.
There's been a lot of those, Brendan.
I know. It's hard to keep track in my mind because you just want to forget them instantly. It's terrible.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you had told me going in that they could get a split, I would have been pretty happy with that, especially, you know, with how up and down the season has been. But when the only two games you lose are by a combined 4 runs and you out hit the other team by like, you know, a total of like 6 or 7 hits and you're the only one committing errors, it just gets a little frustrating.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the first game. There's a few notes. Well, that first game was probably the highlight of the series, but in particular, Jake Arrieta stood out for me. He went, 7 innings, I think? He went deep into the game, whatever it ended up being. And I think it was 7 innings. I'm losing track.
Yes,
now.
7 innings, 6 Thank hits, you. 1 run, no walks, which is great.
That's, yeah.
And 3 strikeouts.
So the thing with Jake that game is after his performance, he almost admitted to the media that he wasn't himself in that he didn't feel full energy. But the velocity backs that up too. So he averaged about 91.7-ish miles per hour, which is about a full tick below his average this year. But what I found most encouraging is also in that same interview after the game, he also said that he got stronger as the game went along. And in that 7th inning, he said he had his best sinking fastball the entire year. So I think Jake is pretty honest with you in terms of how he feels. Sometimes to us, it sounds like almost like an excuse, but nevertheless, he is honest with you. And so I went to go look at the data afterwards, and that 7th inning, for the most part, he was spot on. He actually was throwing, on average, around 93.5 miles per hour that inning, which is weird because we're used to seeing Jake kind of fade out as the game goes along. So in my recent memory, I haven't seen Jake get stronger like that. We're talking about a 2-mile-per-hour increase in the 7th inning compared to what he was throwing in the previous 6 innings. So that was a highlight to me. I don't know, Corey. Arrieta's been interesting the entire year, and I almost feel more comfortable with this version than I do with last year's version. I feel like last year's version was just a little bit too volatile for me.
Yeah, I mean, the lack of control, I think, is the worst, you know, sort of outcome. And I think this year, you know, it's just felt like he's been pitching better, you know, just process wise and just, you know, just hasn't gotten the results in some of these games. You know, he's picked some bad times in some of these games to make the wrong pitch and, you know, that'll inflate the ERA pretty good. So, I'm pretty comfortable, I think, with him right now. I mean, I'm, you know, at this point, nobody's expecting what we were getting in 2015. So
that ship has sailed.
I think you know, something like this is fine. And, you know, really the rotation as a whole, I think, has looked lately its best in, I mean, maybe the entire season. I don't know.
It is the entire season, yeah.
But maybe, you know, I mean, you've got a couple good outings in a row from John Lackey, Mike Montgomery, kind of doing what you were hoping him to do or hoping really for any of those sort of back end of the rotation guys to start doing, just going out there, giving you 6 really solid innings. You know, I know he's got some really good peripherals right now. getting a lot of weak contact. I know you mentioned, I think, on your Twitter today that a couple of his pitches rate very highly in the MLB.
Yeah, so he has the two secondary pitches that he throws consistently, the changeup and the curveball. Both are top tier for grounder rate and for swinging strike rate. And so the other guys in the list, you would expect guys like Kershaw, Scherzer, et cetera. And so that's pretty high-end company. And these type of analyses can sometimes they can bring about hidden gems. And so Eno Saris and Jeff Zimmerman try to find those hidden gems using stuff like this. So back in like 2013, Carlos Carrasco had these same type of peripherals. And like Montgomery, he was also used in kind of this swing role and for the most part out of the bullpen. And then he made a jump to the rotation, overcame a few injuries. And now Carlos Carrasco is one of the better starting pitchers when healthy. So the one knock against Montgomery has been, and this is true throughout his entire career, has been really bad command and an inability to repeat mechanics. And so his tunnels back that up as well. But over the last few starts, Corey, I think the command has been really good. I watch where Willie, or today was Montgomery, or it was Miggy today, but I watch where the catcher's glove is set up, and that's kind of where my focus lays. And if whoever the catcher is, if he deviates a lot, you can kind of pick up right away if the pitcher is feeling it or not. And so just watching these few starts, he's hitting the spots, and the secondary stuff looks great. The curveball, his best pitch, looks great. Changeup looks great. So I want to see more of this. I will be really disappointed if Hendricks comes back and he's put back in that swingman role. I'm over Eddie Butler.
And that's a good point. I think because I do think that is going to be an issue. And we're going to update, give you kind of a roster injury update here because we did get a good bit today. We'll do that in a second. But I did see some people talking about that today during the game and, you know, really hoping that Montgomery isn't the one that they're looking to take back starts from. Or, you know, and I saw some people throwing around the idea, too, that it might at this point be easier to go out and try to find someone to replicate the role that Montgomery would be playing in the bullpen rather than looking for a starting pitcher to replace him or replace Eddie Butler. But I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't mention, because you were talking a good bit about Mike Montgomery's curveball, and I think that's a good point to mention to everyone that Mike Montgomery threw a curveball to Michael Martinez on the pitch where the Cubs win the World Series.
Cubs won the World Series, yeah. That's
cool. I just thought, in case people forgot, we would clarify that. So, yeah, any other thoughts on this Marlins series before we sort of recap a little bit of the roster here?
I think a good segue into that is Addy. Had a great series, really good. And I was on Twitter today, and he made this really nice charging, kind of a weakly hit grounder in that shortstop third base hole, sets his feet and fires a laser to first base. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, finally Addy looks like his normal self. It was the best throw I've seen all year. And then about 5 minutes later, he's removed from the game. And that's because of right shoulder discomfort. So I don't know if that throw, because he put a little extra mustard on it, like messed up his shoulder, but that is a real big loss. And it deflates a lot of what was going well for Addy these last few weeks. And I'm pretty disappointed with that. I mean, we saw the 4-for-5 game in the first game of the Marlins series, and he's just been bashing the ball all over the field. He's going oppo. He's pulling the hell out of the ball with authority. These homers have been, like, massively hit, especially that one in Miami. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, and then he had one in against Pittsburgh that we talked about on Cubs Insider in our last podcast. But, man, that is a big loss for me because he was finally getting going. And just this reoccurring injury bug just keeps biting not only him, but the rest of the team. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, and they, you know, they haven't put him on the DL or anything. And I think after the game, he said that it's not really bothering him.
I don't understand this.
Well, and it's just weird because it's just one of those situations where, and I know we've said it on here, I haven't, Ian and you especially, have not believed them since day one. Really since day one when he left the first time with the shoulder soreness. I don't even remember when that was, like back in April or May.
Yeah.
We just sort of thought that that was going to be a lingering thing. Still sort of think that, you know, and so for it to show up again today is less than thrilling. But as far as I've seen, they insist that he feels fine and they're just trying to make sure they're doing the proper maintenance and due diligence on it, I guess. But to that end, Jaime Candelario is being recalled. I have yet to, and this is as of 11:30 in Chicago on Sunday night, I have yet to see a corresponding move or an official move regarding this announcement. I would assume, as Jesse Rogers of ESPN is also surmising, that this is because of Russell, and they just need another offensive body out there, depending on how you want to move things around, especially with Zobrist not back yet. And, you know, you would think, you know, the Dylan Floros or Felix Peñas or somebody like that is probably the one headed down. I suppose you could also do Mark Zagunas, too, as if you're trying to, you know, make sure that you have an extra infielder, knowing that you can move Baez around however you want. Candelario can play third or first if you wanted him to. So I would think that that's what that is, but as of right now, we do not have an official move on that. Let's see what else. Jason Hayward hit off a tee today, did light swings Saturday. That's from Mark Gonzalez, I believe the Chicago Tribune. As you'll remember, Jason Hayward has been out on the DL after he cut his hand. I know I directed you to his Instagram, I think, on the last episode. You know, pretty simple there. He had a big cut on his hand. That's basically what it is. So it's just a matter of that getting healed up and him getting comfortable swinging the bat with that. What else? Kyle Hendricks threw a side session today that, for all intents and purposes, went well. This post on Cubs.com says that they're, you know, it was good. He felt good, and they're just going to continue to move forward with his rehabilitation in that regard. But everything that I've seen says that they are certainly not expecting that to get rectified prior to the All-Star break, which I think is fine. I know I think I said it here on the last time that, you know, take your time. Would much rather he be, you know, comfortable and try to get back to the form he was at last year. We'll see if that had any effect on his velo or anything like that. But no rush there for Hendricks, especially with Montgomery pitching as well. And similarly to that end, let me pull, I just had the box score here of Brett Anderson, everybody's favorite Brett Anderson. I know all of you listeners out there were thinking like, man, when is Brett Anderson going to come back? I really miss that guy. So for those of you that describes, Brett Anderson threw four innings for Double-A Tennessee today. He gave up five hits, one earned run, zero walks, zero strikes. He got seven ground balls, which is his game, although as Brendan is already thinking, he didn't get any whiffs in a Double-A game, so who cares?
Yeah.
And I think that's about it. So a good bit of progress in some of these regards. Not really sure that we have much of a timetable on Hendricks beyond don't expect it prior to the All-Star break. Hayward should be soon. Again, if you go look at his Instagram, I think it's like jhaylove22 or something like that. He basically just got a giant gash on the palm of his hand. So whenever that heals up, he'll be back and ready to go. Addy, I don't believe they're going to put on the DL. I think they're just going to, you know, they took him out today as a precaution, and they're probably going to try to work more off days in for him than they already were. And Candelario up, we don't know for who. And Brett Anderson is pitching again. So, you know, we don't really have much of an idea of how they are thinking about that. you know, I've certainly haven't seen anything that suggests he's going to slide right back into the rotation. I also haven't seen anything that suggests they have some other plan for him. So they'll probably just have to keep seeing how he does at the double A level, or if he moves on up to Iowa. But he is pitching and at least should be, you know, in the consideration for some of these roles. Perhaps he could fill the Mike Montgomery role out of the bullpen if they want to leave. If they want to leave Montgomery there, yeah, I know, you know, and you mentioned to me that he didn't get any whiffs today in the game, but, you know, 7 ground balls, you know, that would be one of the things, basically, perhaps the only thing that you'd be looking for him to do. I think I mentioned this before when he first got hurt, but, you know, you'd be kind of thinking of him in the way that they talked about Joe Smith when they got him from the Angels. What was that, last year?
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even remember with some of these guys.
He's on my towel. But, you know, just like WTEL that they hand out.
Yes. Yes, of course. Apologies to Joe Smith. So, yeah, any thoughts on that? Oh, and Ben Zobrist. Did we have anything with Zobrist, or is he just plugging along with his?
No progression on Zobrist, so okay. No timetable for return, I guess.
And, Brendan, if only they had put him on the DL when he first hurt his wrist.
And that's where I want to lead this into, because am I going crazy? Like, why is this happening? Why was Addy never DL'd? So there was a report by Mooney today, and then there was a follow-up report by Kerry Muscat. And I don't know, you know, where they get the information from, but Mooney said that the injury dates back to spring training. This is Addy's shoulder, by the way. And then, according to Muscat in her piece, she doesn't, you know, say this explicitly from the words of whether it's Madden's voice or Addy's voice. It just says in sentence form, this dates back to even last year. And I don't understand the Cubs medical staff or the coaching staff's thinking. Like if I'm Theo Epstein, like, I'm going crazy, because you gave up future pieces this year, for this year. You gave up, you know, Soler to get Wade Davis, and you have Wade Davis in a 1-year contract. And, you know, Theo watched every single pitch that Wade Davis made in the second half of last year to ensure that they were getting a healthy, quality, viable closer. And it seems odd to me that they wouldn't take such precautionary measures for their integral pieces of the team, especially in their, I mean, Addy and Zobrist are top 5 hitters in this lineup for the majority of the year. And it's odd that, one, they didn't shut down Addy for longer during spring training or even in April or May. And Zobrist, I mean, you can interpret that however you want. I feel like I'm going crazy having to justify why this is insane. But, I mean, you have Ben Zobrist, a 34-year-old veteran, grinding out wrist issues. There's no reason for that, especially when you have, at the time when it happened for Addy and Zobrist, you have about, you know, 100 games to go. That is inexcusable. You know, the Cubs deserve very little criticism. Let's not kid ourselves, from the management. And this is out of the hands of Theo Epstein. This is out of the hands of the entire front office. This is directly the medical staff's issue, and maybe in part the coaching staff's issue. But these guys cannot stay on the field battling these injuries. These are season-long nagging injuries, and they need to nip it in the bud right away. And I'm pissed off that this has happened, and we're halfway through the season. They're fighting 500, and they may have lost these guys for the tail end of the season. But we're not optimal for the tail end of the season. That's ridiculous.
Well, I just think the image of you know, you, like, wrapped in a tin foil blanket and hat, reading the article today where they, you know, they say the Addison Russell shoulder injury has been back to spring training. He spring up from the chair. I knew it. I knew it.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's a little strange. I know we talked about the Zobrist thing, and I still can't really wrap my mind around that. I really don't understand that. And yeah, it's just been a weird year in that regard. The Addy situation, I'm not really sure. It seems like we're piecing some of these details together as we go.
I want to add one more thing in then before you continue, because it's a big part of this. So Madden was talking about Addy's shoulder today, and I found this absolutely absurd. Like, I love Madden, but this is absurd. And Madden said that, you know, this is a young man's issue, that essentially his shoulder is not strong enough to endure the grind of a full major league season. And that, you know, over time, this will eventually...
I don't know that I've heard that before.
Literally, it's on, I think, a CSN article. I just read it an hour ago.
I'm saying I don't know that I've heard that expression before.
He didn't say that verbatim. I'm just paraphrasing. But he did say that he thinks Addy will grow out of it. It's almost like a growing pain, is my perception of what Joe was saying. That's insane.
When he evolves into his final form.
That is insane, Corey. He's almost a 24-year-old man. Like, look, if you're feeling discomfort, it's because you have an unnatural... I'm not going to go into full medical mode here because I'm not qualified, but, like, you have a stressor that's damaging the surrounding tissue. That's not a growing pain. That's not just going to go away. For that to go away, you need to address it. And to address it, whether it's, I don't know, strengthening the surrounding muscles, giving it rest, giving it proper treatment. But it seems very odd to me that by doing and baseball is very repetitious in its mechanics, that doing the same movements over and over again, it's not going to heal the shoulder. It's just going to inflame the process even more. So what do? You take away the mechanics that are hurting the shoulder, and you treat it properly. And that's that. I don't understand what they're doing.
I don't know. It certainly, you don't really ever like to hear, you know, that problems that existed before are showing up again. And it always begs the question of, you know, what were you doing up until this point, but yeah, the Russell thing, I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm just sort of learning today that this is something that, you know, they've been dealing with for a while. But the Zobrist thing, I was not pleased about, and still haven't really gotten a good explanation on what in the world they were thinking there. I don't know. It's as if there wasn't enough, you know, going wrong so far this year.
Well, it's funny because we almost laughed at how the Mets have managed their pitchers, and in particular Noah Syndergaard.
I don't think this is anywhere on the level of the Mets.
Is it, Corey? I'm not trying to be sensational, but you have a player.
You're being a little sensitive.
No, I'm not. You have a player that's saying it's fine, and he's refusing to sit because he says he feels fine. Did Zobrist not do the same exact thing for 3 weeks? I know Syndergaard's a prized asset, and he's younger, and he's a pitcher, and stiffer.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Zobrist hitting through some wrist pain 4 times a game is different than Noah Syndergaard having a torn bicep and being allowed to throw 115 pitches.
Yeah, there are differences, yes. But the point I'm making is you have a player expressing pain and at the same time saying he's fine, he can play through it. So what I'm saying is the player made the decision to play.
Seems that way, yeah.
Yes, and that's not for the player, and
just very strange too that some of this is going on, you know, when even throughout the season and before the season, you know, the kind of a lot of the focus here was going to be trying to get people, and still is, you know, getting people more rest, being really diligent and thoughtful about how often people were resting and making sure that we're focused on guys having good energy and stuff like that come September and potentially October. So, you know, some of this stuff just sort of looks a little weird on the surface. And you know, I think especially someone like Zobrist and Addy, I think for both of them, you'd really hope that you're erring way more on the side of precaution because you've got Javi Baez to just do the job, right? And so fine. You know, now you've got Hap who you can play at second. You can move Javi to short. You can play Javi at third. You can play Javi at second. So, you know, if these guys even, I mean, even if they have a small problem, you just get them out of the game, you know? But we'll see. You know, at least it sounds like Hendricks is on the right track. Hayward on the right track. And, you know, we'll just have to keep monitoring these things. I mean, hopefully, you know, they're taking a look at whatever's going on with Addison's shoulder. And even if they, you know, don't find anything or don't think that there's any major situation going on, you know, are really careful and thoughtful about his playing time.
I have no confidence in their ability
going forward. We were going through that period, I think, for a little bit, where he was getting the day off like pretty frequently. This was like, you know, maybe a few weeks ago. Though I think we've learned now that perhaps that was for a different reason.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the off the field stuff that was going on. But you know, maybe now we see something similar to that kind of structure where Baez is starting at short, you know, maybe 2-3 or so times a week. You know, but perhaps it's just in the interest of self-preservation. I'm not sure. We've been, you know, Brendan especially has been tinfoil hatting that shoulder injury this entire season.
Like,
sure you've mentioned that in every single podcast.
But you know, so, like, but there's, but Corey, like, before Addy even went on his hot streak, I'm not trying to, like, toot my own horn over here, but, like, you could visibly tell he was feeling better. Even way before the homers even started to happen, we were yeah. talking this, like, oh, my God, like, the swing finally looks good. What happens? The next seven games, he goes off. So it's, I'm not blind. Like, I don't think we're blind to all of this. And I think these are justifiable reasons to be pissed off. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but just don't ever compare them to the Mets again.
Of course, that's more drastic. But, you know, the parallel I was trying to make, whatever.
Brendan sensationalized Miller, they call him, in the journalism world.
Okay.
So anyway, we move from one NL East team to another. And I think for the last couple years, this has been a bit of a litmus test series, I think, for the Cubs. And that is the Dusty Baker-led Washington Nationals.
Did they sweep them last year? I think they did.
The Cubs, I believe they swept them the Baez Mother's Day home run.
And then they walked Harper like every at-bat.
That series, yeah. Yeah, the Ryan Zimmerman series. You know, not to say that the Nationals are the class of the National League. I think right now that's the Los Angeles Dodgers. But this just, you know, I think for the last couple of years, this felt like a series where it's like, okay, you know, this is a team that's going to be in the playoffs. They're competing for the playoffs. They've got, you know, a lot of top end rotation guys, big names on offense. You know, so just one of those series where, you know, you really got to show up and play good baseball if you want to, especially in their park, come away with some wins. And it's another four gamer. Which is pretty weird. I don't really – that's pretty rare, I feel like, that you have back-to-back four-game series. But here's how we'll do that, and then I guess we can talk about anything that we're looking for or expecting on Monday, tomorrow. Again, as always, these times are Central Time in Chicago. Monday, we have Eddie Butler for the Cubs and Gio Gonzalez, a lefty for the Washington Nationals. Tuesday, 6:05. Now I'm thinking I didn't say that for the first one, but let's see. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are all 6:05. So Tuesday, we have Jake Arrieta and Max Scherzer in what I am dubbing the Scott Boris Bowl. Because if you recall that recent article where Boris was talking about Jake Arrieta and, you know, believing that he was still worth the contract that they were looking for this past off season, was, you know, repeatedly comparing him to Scherzer and look at Scherzer, look what Scherzer did, all that other stuff. So now they get to come face to face. Then on Wednesday, we have, John Lackey and Steven Strasburg. Really looking forward to that.
Watch him like win 7-0 that game.
And then on Thursday, the finale, that one is at 3:05 Central Time. John Lester and Joe Ross. So the only lefty the Cubs will face is Gio in that first game. Any thoughts on this series going into Washington? I know the first thing you're thinking, Brendan, is that it's always good to see Dusty Baker.
I just get such great feelings seeing Dusty Baker in that dugout. My first thought is he destroyed my childhood hero, Mark Pryor, so that's not
good. I was going to say you text me once a week, you know, saying, don't you just miss Dusty?
just as much as I text you about Addy, I do the same with Dusty.
Yeah.
But as far as thoughts go, I think I'm over the Addy Butler experiment. I don't know if I said that on air earlier, but I'm done, man. Like, I'm sick of the terrible command. I'm sick of the lack of strikeouts. Like, it's like, I'm done with it. But this is a test. It'll be fine. I'm curious. I'm a little bit scared, more scared than I am curious. Mm-hmm. But if they can get away with a split this series, then I would be pretty happy. The Scherzer-Arrieta game, I'm really looking forward to. I've been pretty happy with how Arrieta's been pitching lately. Scherzer is one of the more dominant pitchers in the league, of course. So that will be fun. Not looking forward to that wacky Strasburg matchup. And then the final matchup, Joe Ross. And who's on the mound for the Cubs that day? Joe Ross and who else?
Johnny.
Okay, so that'll be fun. And I actually like Joe Ross quite a bit. I think he has a lot of good stuff, a good future ahead of him. I don't know. I was trying to find some perspective on this year so far because, you know, we have polar opposite inconsistencies. We have the Cubs looking great one day and then getting a few knocks the next day. So I was trying to really think about the season, and Madden said that in an almost perverse way, he's happy that where he's at. He's actually enjoying this. So I'm trying to think about it. It's weird, right?
I love that quote.
Yeah, in a pervasive way. But I don't know. Like, you know, I do watch a lot of the other teams on TV, and there are some good teams right now. The Diamondbacks are playing well. The Rockies are playing well. But when you look at the state of the franchise and the players they have on their team, I think we're really fortunate, even in the midst of the season right now with these injuries and being basically at 500, that we have this much talent. And, you know, it's fun to have to worry about all these young guys getting better because we know we've seen what they've done and we have an embarrassment of riches. And for the past year and a half, Corey, you and I have talked about how do we get all these guys in a lineup at one time? Like, that's been basically our main problem before, you know, all these troubles of late have surfaced. So I can see where Madden's coming from. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago, how I'm curious to see how the team responds to these troubles because it kind of tests what they've been preaching the past, you know, 16, 18 months. Now by throwing in legit challenges, not that, you know, winning the World Series wasn't a challenge, but now we have these long hiccups instead of these, you know, short, weak hiccups in the playoffs. I'm interested, but I do want to keep perspective, and the team is really healthy. And I think you share the same sentiment as me that this team's going to be good for a long time. And a lot last year, you and I preached to enjoy the season, to enjoy the amount of talent we have on this team. I think we still need to do that, and it's okay to be frustrated by the fact that they're leaving them in a scoring position. They're not batting, but, you know, we have a guy at every position. In some cases, more than one guy at each position that has a chance to be here for the next 6-7 years and be a really large contributor. And The majority of the teams can't say that. And so keep the perspective. It's kind of the theme that I'm going with right now.
Keep the perspective, and you're going to direct your ire to the medical staff now.
I'm going to write an angry email to bus as we get off.
Yeah, I'd say about the same. I mean, I think you're going in hoping for a split. You know, this Washington team is good. They're throwing, you know, four good pitchers at you. And, you know, they've got an offense that's certainly no walk in the park to navigate through. And it definitely, you know, just feels like one of those series where if the Cubs are planning on screwing around like they have in some of these series, like they're going to get wiped. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that that's what's going to happen, but you know, this is just the type of team where leaving runners on, it's the type of team where, you know, similar in this last series, like out hitting them and not converting on big chances, like you're going to get wiped. And, you know, I never really look forward to facing Scherzer. I remember the outing he had, I think, in Washington last year, where really within like the first three pitches, you could just tell like, oof, this is not going to go well.
He has that scowl on his face.
Yeah. And you just, you know, he just is, you know, dialing pitches in there, you know, kind of looks like he's holding everything on a string and he's, you know, strutting around the mound. You're like, whoa, you know, this is not going to go well. So hopefully Arrieta's up to the task, or hopefully, you know, the offense can get to him early. Last year, the Cubs had, you know, kind of a, I think they got a little bit of the Jekyll and Hyde of Max Scherzer, because they hit him well in Chicago. I think doesn't Zobrist take him out twice in that game?
I honestly don't remember that series at all.
I think that's like early. That was during that stretch where Zobrist was hitting like 480 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think he takes him deep twice in the same game. And then they went to Washington and, you know, there was some absurd stat the other day that, I don't remember the exact percentage, but that in just some laughable amount of games, Scherzer, has started during his tenure with the Nationals, he's carried a no hitter, like into the sixth inning, like you know, a dozen times or something, whatever it was, the number like made me like do, you know, like a double take, like what? So yeah, you know, it's a tough series. I mean, is really the moral of what I'm getting to here. You know, and kind of one of those areas where, especially given how well they pitched in Miami, you really would have liked to have taken a third game in that series, just because, you know, you've got no day off here. You're going straight into Washington. And, you know, this is a first place team with some big weapons, and the Cubs are going to have to be up to the task. But yeah, like you, I think you're looking for a split. Anything more than that is really lovely. Anything worse than that, you know, we'll see. But I think at this point, you know, we're only probably, what, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks from the All-Star break, something along those lines.
Crazy.
3 weeks, whatever it is. I think you're trying to survive until that point. you know, keep within, you know, a couple of games of the Brewers, or, you know, overtake them if they don't play well and the Cubs can play well enough. But, you know, either way, I don't think you're necessarily putting, you know, all your eggs in these next few weeks. I think you're, you know, again, you're just trying to get through some of these injuries, get some of these guys back, figure out exactly what you have or what you'd like to have in some of these guys. You know, and kind of what I mean by that is that over the course of the time he's been here, I feel like Ian Happ has gone from, you know, someone who's only supposed to be up for a little bit to someone who then looked like, oh my God, you know, this guy's lost, to, I think now, I think he's just on this team. And, you know, is carving out a really nice role for himself. Has been versatile, which, you know, dating back to spring training is something that he set out to accomplish. And, you know, so I think, you know, you just while, especially while some of these guys are injured, you know, I think you're just trying to figure out exactly where some of these guys might fit going forward. And, you know, if you can get everybody back to 100%, you know, what does that look like? What does everybody's role look like? And, but yeah, you know, I'd say just try to, you know, tread water here, or better. I mean, obviously, if they can do better, that's great. But tread water until you get to the break. I think just like last year, that break will be really good and really necessary. And then you are looking to come out of the break with a better idea of what your roster looks like, what role you envision people playing for the last 2.5 months of the year, what do we need at the deadline, and really focusing on that post All-Star break time, being like, okay, like, you know, we're fortunate enough to have played the way that we did in that first half, and we're still in the thick of this thing. You know, maybe by that time too, you're even already winning the division, and you know, it's just a matter of figuring out how to hold serve there. But yeah, it's a very interesting time, and for all, and I know, you know, it's basically a cliche at this point, but for all that went right last year, on a daily basis and, you know, on a micro and macro level for the whole year, this year certainly feels like the opposite.
Yeah, this time last year we were entering our bye for 16 slump though. So
right. So, you know, it's been tough. It's been a test. And, you know, unfortunately they're really in this habit now, and this Marlins series was a really good example of that, of, you know, and it's been all year where it's just like you finally get that game where you're like, okay, that was good, that looked great, that was clean, you know, let's just keep it going, you know, and the next day is the complete opposite, you know, it's very much one step forward, two steps back. That Bruce Springsteen song is definitely the, at least is a top five candidate for theme songs of the 2017 Chicago Cubs. But fortunately for those Cubs, the Milwaukee Brewers are still only a game and a half ahead of them. The Cardinals look absolutely dreadful. And, you know, they've got the time to put it together. So starting rotation has been looking better, looking more consistent, and, you know, just hope to get these guys healthy and survive this National Series, you know, because it's a tough team, man. And I think that's about what I got. I will say though, you know, we just have to keep perspective and remember that anytime you're watching the highlights of like the Dodgers and Cody Bellinger is hitting another home run, which he's doing at a really astonishing pace.
Yeah, best pace of all time.
Yeah, you just got to remember that it's going to be really funny to think back on all of that when the Cubs knocked them out in the playoffs. Ooh, after winning 86 games.
That will be, right now it seems far-fetched, but that would be pretty sweet.
I mean, it's like, I think it was Randall Sanders on Twitter who was saying this, that, you know, the cliches thrown out by Cubs fans last year were, you know, the best team's gonna get through. Yeah. The best team, it'll shine through eventually, you know. And this year, it's like, nah, it's baseball. The playoffs are a crapshoot, you know. Let's see what happens. So,
it's true.
I'm fully in. You know, whatever narrative best suits your situation mode. So we're going with playoffs are a roll of the dice. You just got to get in, you know. So. And while Dodger fans are saying, no, we're the best team, you know, that'll win out. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, just trying to survive this National Series, because it does have a vibe of something that could potentially go south. It also has the vibe of, you know, if the Cubs can show up, they can get, you know, solid quality starts from, you know, at least, let's say, three of these guys. You know, if you left Washington winning three of four, or, you know, by some miracle sweeping them in their own ballpark, like it also does have the potential to be, you know, maybe a sort of turning point series, or something that really, really jumpstarts them. And I know I make fun of Pat doing it all the time, but that's kind of like a Pat Hughes, where he'll say, you know, it's like the seventh inning, the bases are loaded, and he'll say it feels like a turning point.
You're
like,
I agree, partner.
Yeah, Pat. You know, Brendan, this Washington series feels like a real turning point for the Cubs.
Well, I would agree, Pat.
Yeah. So I know that's kind of obvious, but it, you know, it has that feeling of, you know, it can kind of turn things either way, you know, because, you know, if they lose or they play poorly, it's going to turn into, you know, the Cubs can't hang with playoff teams. They can't, you know, beat good pitching, all this other stuff. So, yeah. I feel like I tailed off a little bit.
That's
but,
okay. I think there's a lot to get through today. But I want to leave it with a story that might make you guys smile. So, like Corey, I also live in LA. So I'm walking past a few like sport bars, and I was walking by as Bellinger hit his second homer of the game. So I'm like, I hear like a "Let's go Dodgers" chant. I'm like, what the hell? Like, why? Like, why would someone be chanting "Let's go Dodgers" in a mid-June game? So as I'm walking by, and you know they're chanting "Let's go Dodgers," I just so happen to be wearing my World Series championship hat. Mm. Yes, and there are probably maybe like 6 or 7 fans outside on the patio, and they're chanting "Let's go Dodgers," and here I come strutting up. Coincidence that this timing was on my side, and as they're saying "Let's go Dodgers," they see my hat, and Corey, it was one of the most beautiful reactions I've ever seen a group of fans. They didn't know whether to like boo or stop. Like it was a very odd reaction for them. They ended up, you know, talking smack, but you know, you could see that it was almost like a look of embarrassment or shame on their faces. So I want to just, you know, let you guys go off into the start of your week. Whatever happens with this, you know, National Series, just know that me walking by in the midst of the Cubs struggles with a World Series Chicago Cubs championship hat shook the Dodgers miniature fan base, at least what I saw here in Los Angeles. So that's what I got. I think you'll enjoy that, especially Corey. But
I don't believe you. I believe you walked up there to start trouble.
I swear to God this happened. It was like beautiful timing. It was almost too good to be true. But I'm not like you, who actually goes out and, you know, starts fan fights.
I do not.
You respond, though. You respond.
No. Hold on. You set me up really well for that. I'm going to quote my good friend Joe Madden here. I don't start shit, but I will finish it.
Okay. On that, I think that's a good way to end it. On that note, we'll talk to you guys after the National Series.